These last couple of days, it's been like forcing myself to pick up something and read it and then get on my knees and pray. My meditation is important, and I stress that to all my sponsees and just about everybody that I know, because I'm an avid person about balance, maintaining balance, spiritual balance. I know from experiences, as long as I'm okay on the inside, it doesn't matter what happens on the outside. But it's my responsibility to maintain that balance. And with that balance, I have to feed and nurture my spirit. And it takes that quiet time in the day when I first start the day. The last 2 weeks, I have been totally out of that. And I get here tonight. Well, I was driving around this evening, seeing a couple of people, and I suppose I wanted to look at a couple of jobs. And it just popped in my head. I'm like, well, they got the convention going on down here. Let me go down to the convention. So I pop up. I get here. I was in the first meeting. They had a speaker's meeting. And somebody made the comment that they expected it to be full. And I've learned sometimes fullness is not what I see. Sometimes fullness can be what I feel. I came here looking to feel the spirit. And lo and behold, I get downstairs and I guess Linda B. walks up to me, Mike, would you do the 11 o'clock meeting? Complacency. Pow! Sometimes I don't know what I need. That's why I need you all. Because there's nothing else like somebody else on the outside looking in. And I think when I spoke earlier, somebody probably felt my pain because I have been in pain. And it wasn't deniable. I hadn't even been making meetings on a regular basis. And I'm the kind of person that's in a meeting every day, and I have been doing so for the last 12 years. I make a meeting every day. I put nothing in front of my recovery. My recovery comes first. Because if I don't, then there will be nothing. Fuck the dog, the house, the car, the job, everything. And I'm like that. Fuck God. Once I start, I don't stop. I don't know how to stop. I have this built-in mechanism that once I get started, ain't no stopping. And I do that clean. I have obsessive-compulsive behavior. And it's active clean, but sometimes the direction that it goes in benefits more than just me. And in being in Narcotics Anonymous over the years, I've learned that the good ain't always got to be for me. And that's the beautiful part about this program. There's nothing else like watching somebody else come from nowhere to somewhere. And the book talks about sometimes the longest journey that I could ever take is from here to here. And believe you me, it takes a while to get here. I had to get through this mass of confusion, distortion, the lies, the deceit, the self-abuse. I don't realize that after a growing period, there comes a quiet time. So that the body, the mind, the spirit, the soul can adjust to the growth. It's like being in that cocoon and coming to be a butterfly. And all of a sudden I was a worm. Now I got wings. But I was a worm. I got to learn what these wings are for. Another level of freedom. Complacency is healthy if you go through it. A lot of people don't have enough working knowledge of the steps to make it through it. It can be detrimental. It can come about as an act of separation. It can enhance the differences. It can make me intolerant. It will shut me down and isolate me. So now I'm in a diseased state of being. And that is very dangerous. I guess that's why we have meetings, so that people that have been here for some 24 hours with working knowledge are comfortable with coming in amongst people and opening up and being honest. You don't have to do it. I've done it for you. That's what's kept me clean. I'm one of those people that came in this room that has never relapsed. And I don't say that to be bragging. I say that because meeting makers make it. I have a sponsor. I have sponsees, and I have an obligation to my sponsorees. How can I help them go through the steps if I'm not working the steps? I'm adamant about somebody going through something, and I'll ask them in a minute, what step is that? Because, see, that's how I was taught. I had a sponsor early on, and I used to, I was an over-the-road truck driver. And I used to stop in cities and towns, and I'd get to the phone booth, and I'd get to crying about whatever it is I was crying about. And he'd listen to all my wailing and raising hell and jumping up and down, this, that, and the other. And his only answer would be, you got your book? I'm like, yeah. What step is that? So painstakingly and begrudgingly, I take my ass somewhere and sit down, and I would open that damn book. And see, I was hard-headed. I didn't realize that I paid $800 for that book. Why not read it? I went to treatment, and they locked my ass up for 45 days. That was the only way that I was going to be where somebody could introduce me to something other than what I had already introduced myself to. I used for 26 years. I've been clean for 12, going on 13 this year. And I am not even at the halfway mark, y'all. I'm striving for balance. And I have to be redundant. I have to go over these steps. I have to open myself up and be completely honest, whether I like the feeling or not. I found it better to be humble than to be humiliated. But reading along, you don't distinguish the difference between the two unless you actually live it. And that's what this program is about. Life is meant to be lived. I remember how it felt to stop at my front door in the morning when I was using and crying and praying and asking God, don't let me go out here and do what I just did. Scared to go out the door in the morning. Fear, gripped with fear, using. And just as soon as the tears dried up, I was on them. Forgot all about it. That beast was well up in me, and the day was on. I do not have to live like that today. So vigilance is important for me. Unity is important for me. I'd rather be ragged out, talked about in here, than hid out there. Because once I start hiding, then I'm nurturing the disease. And once it begins to manifest, it's like cancer. It eats away at the very existence of me. And I don't want to have an existence today. I want to have a life. Something that I can cherish. I have two daughters. And some days they can pick up the phone, and I guess they feel me, and they'll call me, and they just say, hey, Daddy. And my whole, I don't give a shit what I'm going through, my whole world brightens up. And we're talking about a person that come in here that didn't have no feelings. None whatsoever. Grew up isolated from feelings. Somewhere along the line, I lost the fear of touching and being touched. Anybody know Edgar? He's a little white guy that was around here when I first got here. And I used to bend over to hug him, and he would kiss me on my jaw. And I'd back up and be like, you kiss me a goddamn again, we finna tear up something. Fear being touched. And every time he see me, he hug me, he kiss me anyway. And I kept hugging him, and he kept kissing me. And somewhere along the line, it dawned on me, he might care about me, and that might be his only way to show. Or either he just gonna break my tough ass down. It worked. I had to get humble. I was one of those people that had to be taught early on what surrender was. Because I had fought all my life. I had fought for everything that I ever had, and if I got it, I had to fight to keep it. And I got here, and the first thing y'all told me was, in order for you to win, you must surrender. I had to learn what it was. I had to shut up and take everything that I ever knew about living and wrap it up and open the one and throw it out, because none of it kept me clean. None of it made me feel. None of it ever brought anything of importance in my life. The only thing that was important for me was finding ways and means to get more. That's a vicious cycle. And the amazing thing about that is you can get caught in that vicious cycle, and it doesn't have to be about drugs. I learned that I can use people, places, and things. And that's a hell of a situation. When I actually learn about the disease of addiction and all this nastiness. Because it's not pretty. The self-abuse is so overwhelming that I'm caught up in the denial that so what? Or the magic words, fuck it. Or I don't give a shit. Or I don't care. It ain't that easy no more. Not for me. Yes, I do care. No, I can't say fuck it. No, it ain't gonna go away. Roll up your sleeves and let's go through this. And the most important thing, what step is that? I had to ask myself that on a continual basis. And begrudgingly, I sit my happy ass down and I pick up that book and I begin to read. And somewhere in there, as I read, I learned to read the black part of the book instead of the white part. You know, the words, and it started reaching out, and they started attracting me. And the more I began to read, the more I wanted to know, hey, what is this? And each step I went through, I really can't put into words the freedom that I attained from it. But I can guarantee you, as you go through, you will feel what I'm trying to express to you. There are no words for it. I hadn't found any. But there's action. And there's light on the other side. And it does get better. I've known of many people that have died because they were afraid to live. And death is a part of this program. Sometimes the meetings are not enough. The hugs are not enough. The sponsor is not enough. The phone calls are not enough. Death is a part of this program. It's the final call. Just think about when I was the walking dead. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, bankrupt. So now I got a little savings in each one of those areas. And I don't spend it as frequently as I once did. I'm cautious in how I spend my spirit. And how I spend my emotions, my mentalness, my physical part. I'm very cautious. Because I can overextend those boundaries, and then when I get empty, I'm lost. And the fun part about it, I always got you people to help me to get back to where I need to be. I can go to meetings sometime and I get to get at the door and I nominate myself the official hugger for the day. Ain't nothing else like hugging everybody that comes through that door. Best feeling in the world. And then when they get ready to leave, hug them again. And I guarantee you, whatever was bothering you at the beginning of the meeting, at the end of the meeting, you forgot about it. That's the way it worked for me. I follow directions well. I do it half-heartedly sometimes and begrudgingly, because I want to stay in my little stank, you know? A little pissed off little kid. I heard somebody earlier share about how they were a child that woke up in this grown world. I started using when I was 6 years old. I stopped using when I was 28, 29. So here I was a six-year-old kid that woke up in a 29-year-old world. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? With no concept of fear. You know, a lot of people talk about they come from this part of the world, they come from this city, they come from this state. I come from picking up white shit up off that carpet, putting them in my mouth, talking about that ain't it. I come from peeking out into the dark and ain't no damn body out there and I know I see somebody. I come from sitting there watching the Wells Fargo truck and watering at the mouth. Once I had to rob something, I had to take something, I had to get somebody. And I'm thankful. I'm very thankful today that I don't have to live like that. That's a blessing. And I owe it to the God of my understanding and the family of Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you. Thank you.